Hello, fellow role-playing gamers. I, too, would like to role-playing game with you.
Previously on Girl by Moonlight, the Queer Disaster Gang teleports to the capital of Vark and starts a fight straight away. After shaking the pursuers, they now must cross the city and find Esther's mom. Of course, the plans change when Solange meets a new robot.
You see a light above the one that's been staring at you start blinking red, and a gentle, almost like elevator door opening tone go like, bing, bing. And then you see them hurriedly get back to work.
Oh no, but I wanted to steal them. I wanted to steal the friend.
You can't steal every single robot.
Watch them.
Watch me.
I probably will.
So is there like a wall between us and them?
No, you're walking through the middle of the factory floor.
Well, as everyone else is probably starting to continue walking, Solange is going to walk over to the robot who waved back at me.
Solange.
I'm making a friend.
All right, please be quick. These shadows won't last much longer.
Yeah, I walk over to the robot and like tap them on one of their shoulders.
They don't turn to look at you. You see them like react a little bit to your touch, but then they immediately snap their attention back to the assembly line.
Hi, I'm Solange.
Please don't distract me. I'm already behind the quota. I can't make another mistake for the next 97.
What happens if you make a mistake?
And they kind of like think, and then they say, I get, and then they glance up at you very gravely, and they say, reprimanded. And then go back and look at the thing.
Oh, that's not nice. Do you like making things?
Mostly. I wish I could make different things sometimes.
Yeah, and Solange nods. I know a place where you can make many different things.
Uh-huh. Okay. I'm very distracted by their work.
And no one would reprimand you. They'd just be very impressed.
I don't like being reprimanded.
No.
37, 38. Who are you, anyway?
Oh, I'm Solange. Hi.
Seven of their arms are focused on building this thing, and their eighth arm goes to shake your hand.
Nice to meet you.
My name is APH-1D. And you look at the number on their chassis, and in the typography, it just happens to look like it reads
AFID?
Yes.
AFID. Okay. I like it. Will you? I need to go meet another friend. But if I come back through here in a little while, will you still be here?
58, 59. I'll be here all day.
Okay. I'm going to come back. I promise you. I run back over to my friends, waving at them, waving at Aphid and smiling.
Yeah, they're back at work. You see one of those Bobby Foreman robots start walking down the aisle, and they're just standing over Aphid's shoulder and watching to make sure that they hit 100 without fucking up.
Yeah, I try to like catch Aphid's view and like blink and smile like, hey, we got a secret. It's going to be cool. And then I tell everyone else, okay, so we're going to need to come back through here.
Did they implicitly say they wanted to come with us and leave this place?
No, but I'd like to talk more to them.
All right. I did mean it, though. Legba says it's going to run out soon.
Okay. Yeah, let's go. Let's go find your mother, Esther.
Right.
And as we go to continue, Ursula like falls in step with Solange for a moment, and she says, see, that is the important thing about you, Solange. Your heart. Not just how strong you are. Not just that you always win. Your heart is the thing that we all love. And I don't know, is it fair to say that Solange is maybe not an eclipse anymore?
Yeah.
Yay!
Yeah, and I think Solange just blushes a little bit. I don't think they respond directly.
Yeah, that's fine. But we saved them.
Yay.
Sweet.
See the power of mildly not unhealthy communication.
Teenagers being emotionally mature. Hurrah. Good for them.
Transcendent Fache gets to be more mature because he is also channeling the Loa of love and
compassion, empathy.
Yeah.
Ursalie can manage like a ridiculous polyculture. I'm sure she has that shit figured out.
Yeah, Ursalie. I totally ship Ursalie with everyone.
And so you slip off of this factory floor and you get to this last area and you see this factory that has like a series of like smokestacks on top of it. And in contrast to some of the stuff that you've seen so far, which has been kind of clean industries, this is like a little bit more smoky. There's like a faint layer of like grime on this next structure that you come up to. But it still has like a, you know, a poster at the entrance and that kind of stuff. And so Esther is kind of like looking up at it. And she turns to you and she says, all right, this should be it. Just 1 second. And you see her kind of like stop and sort of like take a breath, cough a little bit. I think, who's the person most likely to pick this up? Oh, lovely.
Oh, boy.
I think you should do a gather information role. You can tell that she is nervous. And you don't know what that is. It might just be that she's nervous seeing her mom again. But maybe you can figure it out.
Esther, everything all right?
Yeah. Yeah. Everything's fine.
Behind the fraying illusion, like eyes narrow a little bit. I guess I'll try to perceive.
Empathize, maybe?
Yeah, I think I like empathize more, actually.
Yeah.
I'm worse at it, but I like it more. All right. What are my conditions?
Your position in this moment is desperate, great.
All righty.
That's interesting. Always fun to find out that you're in a desperate position.
This means I'm going to be rolling. Yeah, to contrast all my previous rolls, this now is going to be at a zero dice roll.
Jesus.
What? Lovely's not good at empathy.
Well, a two. Jesus.
I'm looking at like the back of her head after she's turned away after I've asked this. And then, I don't know. What do I realize? What do I think? Is she going to betray us? Is she planning on staying here? She not coming back?
I think let's play it out as a conversation. You asked if everything's okay. She's kind of evasive.
Esther.
My mom's in the next building, so I guess I'll miss you.
You're not going to come back?
No. I don't think I'm going to.
But
you could stay too, you know. I could put in a good word for you and everything.
At this point, I think, is when the illusions, like, collapse fully.
Yeah.
And we see, instead of Legba, Lovely.
Yeah. I mean, she's been talking with her voice for a while now, with some, like, probably half-assed excuse earlier on, like, oh, yeah, he, like, let me step into the illusion earlier so I could follow with you guys. It wouldn't work. I can't. I finally got to see you again, and now it's. And you want to go back to this?
I can't. I know we've already talked about it. I can't spend my entire life in Renity. And it's been so good seeing you. Things haven't been great, but I just. When you showed up at the observatory out of nowhere, I don't know. I just realized how much I missed you. You could stay. You don't have to be whoever that is, Legba. I'm sure, I guess I don't really know how this works. Can't somebody else be Legba? Can't you just be you?
I don't even want to be me.
I I want you to be you.
Head down, just shaking it back and forth. Not specific denial, just general. What would Lovely even do here? What purpose would she even have? She's not good at anything. She doesn't care about anything, just...
Maybe you'll be surprised. You've never gotten your ape score. Maybe you're like a genius or something.
Look up, tears in eyes, but like smile underneath them now. You be well, Esther. I hope that new telescope gets built faster than you expect.
And she kind of looks to one side and says, me too. All right, well...
Hug. Just lunge at her and grab her into a hug.
Yeah. And she kind of shocks. And kind of like pain appears on her face. And she just hugs you back. And like the two of you are embracing. And then we see things from her perspective. And she's looking over your shoulder while she's hugging you. We see that there is a text conversation going back and forth with her mom. It says, okay, just bring them all through the front door.
Oh, sweet Loa. Sweet Loa, have mercy.
And she hugs you back. She says, I'm so sorry.
It's okay. It's okay. We'll figure out a way to make it work. Besides, it's not goodbye forever. There'll be a way to make things, you know, fit together.
I hope so. All right. Well, my mom might be happy to see you. So, follow me.
All right. Like, turn around, like, nod to everyone, like, all right. At least we get to say we met her. This isn't a complete failure on our part.
Yeah. And we can come visit.
Yeah, and she just sort of smiles bitterly and walks up to the door and sort of waves her hand back and forth. And there's a pulse of blue light on the back of her neck and a pulse of blue light on the door. And then there's a ka-chunk and the double doors slide open. And she says, okay, I think this is the building. And all of you follow her inside. And then as soon as the last one of you passes the double doors, there's another ka-chunk and the doors close behind you.
Those are really aggressive for a residential area.
Yeah, so Lanisha says, I like the ka-chunk sound.
Aw, man. Solange is just the best.
And Esther kind of stops and then says, she kind of turns and looks at you, Lovely, and says, I'm really sorry. They said I couldn't come back unless I turned you in.
Esther, what?
And at that point, you see robots, or you hear like robots coming down the hallway. A lot of one particular big tank-like security robot, flanked by at least a dozen others. And then close by is Esther's mom. And she runs towards the robots and ducks behind the big tank-like one and goes to hug her mom. And y'all are in a very desperate position. What do you do?
Yeah, I think this is Ursula is looking at Solange and at Lovely and Violine, who is also here. And yes. This is the people who, like, she is responsible for them. And I have a feeling that she just turns around, turns to them, and her skin becomes darker, and there is suddenly like blood in her face. And raising her sword, she looks back at them and she says, run. And she turns to face the monsters. My play here is I want to slow them down enough so everyone else escapes.
All right.
I think our problem is, where do we run? We just ka-chunked ourselves.
Yeah. So there are two problems here. One is the robots closing in, and the other is the door behind you is locked. It sounds like you are dealing with the robots and holding them off and buying your friends time. And I think that that is going to increase the position from desperate to either risky or controlled. I think if you're throwing yourself into this entirely, you might be able to get it up to controlled if you increase the risk to your own well-being, right? And then there is the actually getting the door open and then running for your life. So describe for us, what does it look like as Urzali charges in to hold off these robots?
Yeah, I think it's just like she was, especially recently when she was talking to Esther, she was kind of the light-skinned, soft, kind of pinky, glowy Urzali that is all about eating sweets and being happy. But right now she is the other Urzali, the Urzali that protects children and women and those who can't protect themselves. And I think that she is like very calm. She is not enraged and she is not, it seems like she is completely at peace. And there's also a glow in half her body where Fache's augmentations are also like responding to whatever this is happening.
And so we see you with this blood on your face and like neon colors whipping around you. And then we see this other tank-like robot, which is almost like taking up this entire corridor and has these two enormous fists that it's leaning forward on like a gorilla. And so it sort of like leans in towards you and it says, "Stand down. You will not be harmed."
Urzali raises her sword to a fighting stance and she says, "You will be," and attacks.
I love this. All right. Sounds to me like you're rolling Defy here, probably.
Yes. And when I am transcended recently, I have bought my third dot of Defy.
Oh, perfect.
Oh, my gosh.
When I transcend, I have three dots. Watch me roll three ones. Well, that's a five. So that's nice. Not that bad.
Yeah.
You throw yourself into this enormous hulking gorilla-like robot.
And what does it look like as you just attack them?
I've been doing the kind of samurai thing. And I think Urzali seems like almost weightless. And in this small, I envision it as sort of a residential building. So it's not really very spacious. But she still manages to like weave back and forth around the robots and like evade them and at the same time cutting specifically where Fache knows that they're vulnerable and like with the relentlessness and ruthlessness of a person defending their family.
Yeah, and so gracefully you swoop and dodge in this enormous gorilla-like robot goes to slam a fist down on top of you. And you effortlessly dodge to one side. And then it goes to try to headbutt you. And you sweep backwards. And you take that in one fluid motion and you spin. And you cut the entire robot in half. And the thing sort of shudders and stumbles backwards and falls onto its back. And we see this enormous gash with all kinds of like robot insides, sparking and showing inside. And then there are several smaller security robots that are starting to swarm you, but you're moving and keeping them at bay. The desperate fallout, the complication here, is all of you can hear, or all of you can start to feel heat. And you look down at this robot, and you start to see blue and pink energy starting to stitch between the mechanical fibers of its body, and it turns into...
Gosh, dang it.
Yeah, one of these horrifying creatures that is dripping magma mixed with almost like a light sky blue, this pinkish purple energy. And I have a picture for you.
Oh boy.
Yeesh.
Yeah. And so this thing just, its entire face is one enormous eye, and there's energy like spilling out of its faceplate and licking the floor and pooling around your feet. And its body sort of like changes shape It essentially transcends.
That is interesting, because I de-transcend. This was my third transcended action.
But so I think we'll count it as a transcendent action, you continuing to keep these things at bay.
Yeah, while that is happening.
Yeah. And so
the other three of you, you are now in a controlled position
for at least like the next action or so.
You got a door behind you that you need to get out of.
What does this door look like? What do we have to work with?
I think it's just like...
there's like a keypad and all that kind of stuff, but you can't really interface with that without the cybernetics that most people in ARK have.
So it's just a double door that is made out of steel that you need to wrench open or bash down, whatever it is you decide to try to do.
Neither of us can transcend, can we?
Oh, you can't. Then you can try to find out how to essentially open up the circuit box and try touching wires together.
We can't use the Star Wars option, just smash the circuit box and hope that makes it open. I mean, we can try that.
Yeah, you can definitely try that. I would say your effect is probably limited, but I would love it if it worked.
Well, Zeb, go for it. I've got your back.
Gosh, how am I even going to? I'm gonna try and defy the heck out of this keypad. Just smack it so hard that the locking mechanism stops.
All right,
we're dead.
You know that part where I was supposed to assist you?
Yeah, there was supposed to be an extra die.
Are you adding a die?
Yeah, I'm. Yes. Yeah.
All right. Add.
Hey.
Which is a six.
Oh,
that is a six.
What a clutch extra die.
As they're like pounding, like trying to break off the front of this keypad and open it up. Solange, catch. And the broken pipe I tried to use earlier in the alleyway, I still have it with me, and I toss it over to them. And they can use that to just jam into the gearbox and snap it open.
E.
Yes.
We did it.
That was an initial roll of 2 threes, and then a six with the slightly late 2 steps ahead assistance.
Perfect. All right. So Solange like moves forward, like opens this electrical panel. You just start ripping stuff out, basically?
Yeah. I'm hoping that it's just like a magnetic lock or something. And if I like pull the right cable, it'll just like turn off.
Yeah, totally. Yeah, it's like the failsafe, right, is not to lock somebody in a building if the building loses.
Yeah, because this is a residential building. It's not like a prison.
And so you get it, and then the doors kind of beep, and you see something flicker, and there's glitches, and something wrong is happening, and then you hear a ka-chug, and the doors don't open all the way, but the lock is released, and you're able to start pulling them apart with your arms.
Right afterwards, I'll like get in there and like get into the classic like back against one, feet against the other, and push them open all the way. Or is my
perfect
assistance blocking
that? Yeah, and so the two of you work together to wrench these doors open. The sound of grinding steel against concrete. And you turn and you see Urzali with this enormous magma dripping robot creature bearing down on her. And you two get to exchange a glance before you run for your lives. What is that? What's the glance that passes between you?
I think I like smile at Urzali and say, see you on the other side. And then dash through the door, pushing Lovely out as I go through.
Yes. Yes, this is... I'm so happy that this roll happened the way that it happened.
Garbage dice the whole day, and then right at the end, just enough to let us get away. Come on.
And now the next session is going to be you stranded in the fucking capital and me possibly imprisoned.
It's
fine.
I'm going to have a request here.
Hmm?
We need a downtime segment, and we need to turn this into a 2-part mission.
I do really like that idea, actually.
Because then we can have downtime in the city.
Yeah.
And that's going to be cool.
Yeah.
Also, so we can recharge, because we will die if we have to make one more dice roll, I swear.
I have one empty stress box.
Yeah.
Y'all are not quite out of the weeds yet. You got the doors open. You're running out into the street. What's your next move?
Wait. The automated factory. No one's there.
Right. There. No one would ever suspect us to backtrack. Let's go.
All right. Yeah, and so you start running. One route, you're going to run into a bunch of Bobby Foreman. And if you go the other route, you have to get through the doors without having any of the ARC access stuff.
I can probably slip us through. I can probably slip us through the crowds. Just stick close behind me.
You do the lying. I'll just look normal.
Says the person who probably never looked normal in their entire life.
Wow.
Well, Solange is remarkable in a lot of ways. I'm not saying it in a bad way.
I mean, all of us look really off from the norms here, probably.
Yeah. For one, none of you are wearing the jumpsuit. Yeah, what's y'all's default fashion styles? Like, generally bright fabrics, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Lovely. Cool. Lovely does wear darker clothes.
Solange usually wears slightly faded, lighter colors.
All right. Well, Violine has blue hair and a flashy outfit.
Ah, fuck it.
Okay, also, counterpoint, we all dressed planning on going on this mission.
Yeah, but also Violine cannot be stopped.
Fair enough.
Okay, but Robin isn't here, and I feel like it's unfair to give us all the negatives of Violine's beautiful blue hair and none of the roles.
Listen.
But yeah, where's their big old vault of social links? Why can't we access those? Yeah. I'm whining. But yeah, I'd like to do a group flow action to move through the crowded main street.
Do we need to have that last roll? Like, can they just escape into the city?
I think the situation could get worse. And I want to see if it does.
Yeah, we get to decide whether it's the three of us, like, starting next session hiding in, like, a ruined building, or it's the three of us starting next session crowded into a little prison cell.
Well, that would be the four of us. So there is that.
I think Fashe is captured at this stage.
Yeah, but if we're all captured, we're together. We'll cuddle in prison.
Point.
Yeah, you do it. I'm going to spend my last link with you. To help you.
All right.
Yeah. And so you get to the door of the factory you were just in with Aphid in it, and you hammer on the door, but nothing happens. You realize that the light above it is dark, and that none of you have the way to get in. And so you turn and you start running down the street and into the main thoroughfare. There are big vehicles being loaded up with different factory parts. There are robot foremen, people walking back and forth between factories. Dense crowds, just everything is very busy, very organized. Introduce the element of chaos of a bunch of teenagers running down a street. What do you do?
Gotta get people to clear the way willingly. Pause for a moment, like kind of stutter step, and just say, emergency binary chip, emergency binary chip, clear the way, robot down, and go for it.
Yeah, and Solange like helps by saying, yeah, we've got a case of non-binary happening. They're using they-thems.
They're using they-them pronouns. Everybody run.
But yeah, we are pretending to be robo-medical personnel to get people to clear out of the way, like an ambulance would. And I want to argue that this is a flow roll. I don't want you to give me the flow roll. I want to argue with you about it.
Nuh-uh.
Yeah-huh.
Nuh-uh.
Yeah-huh.
But what if nah?
All right, what's my position?
Risky and standard.
All right. You know what? Screw it, I push myself. I'm going to eclipse.
Ah, dang it.
Jesus.
I am not starting next session in a prison cell. This cannot go any worse. And I know better than to trust three dice to save me like last time.
You're starting it in the prison cell of your emotion.
Here we go.
Yes! That's a six.
It stings much that was the first dice that got rolled, too.
Yeah.
All right. What's my roll for eclipsing?
You do eclipse. You roll, I think, the least thing.
Ha, joke's on you. They're all equal now.
Let me look again, because...
I'm pretty sure it's that.
This is important, but I think it is your...
While you're checking that, can we get the results in for this roll?
I was going to open it up for you because you achieved your intended effect. You're shouting about a non-binary robot and confusing the hell out of people.
Are people running away from you? Or are they confused? Or what's the intended effect here?
People who are falling for this are getting out of the way. And then as we run up around the workshop, I like point at the door and like, we need to get in there. And ideally one of the robot foremen just like opens the door for us because they think we're like robo-medical personnel.
Yeah, and he's not sure what incident of non-binary is, but it sounds serious.
And then as we run through, like, close it, we don't want them escaping.
Yeah.
And they close it again for us.
Cool.
This is like the opposite of flow. This is like throwing boulders into a stream.
Yeah.
There's like a moment of blinking confusion on the robot's face, and then...
We see like the closed door and them just standing there and looking at their timetable and then being like, wait a second, and then trying to open the door to you. But by that point, you're already long gone.
You roll your lowest attribute.
All right. I've done this one already. There's a cheesy way I could have exploited the system, but it's not fair for me to do it.
Yeah, you could decide that your lowest attribute is moon and you get plus one die on moon rolls, but then it wouldn't be your lowest attribute.
Yeah, I remember talking about that last time you rolled your eclipse. And
it would be such a clever way to do this, but this is a game about losing as well as winning, so... Oh, well. And because it's what got me here, I'm going to roll stars.
Okay, you fail.
That's two ones.
While you are in eclipse, you play into the prompt listed under eclipse in your playbook. Instead of accumulating stress, you erase it from your sheet. When your stress reaches zero, your character succumbs completely to darkness.
Oh boy.
Would you like to read your eclipse to us?
I can read it.
I'd appreciate that. I'll
when you eclipse, you are not worthy of the mask, but others demand a hero. They need lavish displays of mysterious extravagance. You will give it to them, no matter the cost, and no matter who must have a tragic fall.
Another tragic thing is that when you're in eclipse, you do not recover your transcendence tracks between mission. Oof. So you still cannot transcend.
All right.
Well, lovely, you're going to be in a tough situation. And so we see you like running and hopping.
And getting doors open and doors getting closed behind you and robot Bobby's going around to corner you and you ducking in another alleyway.
And you just keep everyone moving and you can't be cornered. I think at the start of this whole thing, like where were you before? Like emotionally, your friend just betrayed you. Everything is going to hell. Where was Lovely at before all of this?
Before she was sad. She was resigned. She was like, she expected Esther to leave them and go away and then as the Loa to have to go like figure this out and try to come to some conclusion. Now she's abruptly coming back around to the idea that failure is entirely possible. The fact that Esther's betrayed her. And then just the thought of, for all of these problems, Lovely already had the chance to fix them. She already had the chance to spot these things, to set them up. To like impress Esther with how good Renity was now, to impress her mother, to keep them like better hidden. This was a scenario of both not being smart enough, but also not being humble enough. And if that bird has already flown the coop, the only option is to now be actually as good as you should have been instead of just settling in with your mistakes.
Got it. And so like your disposition is like very almost kind of like thoughtful, distant when you first start running. What do we see from Lovely? Like what is your disposition as you're getting to the end of this wild chase and getting into a less occupied part of the city? How do we see that you've eclipsed?
She's breathing heavily. She's like running, panic, looking back and forth. And then right as she starts to realize like we're safe, nothing else is coming, without anyone else looking, her face just drops into this blank, just blank, staring straight ahead, no expression, as she just kind of starts to shut down and just everything turns inward as she starts to think about what to start doing.
Also, you can escape Eclipse when someone shows you the truth of their heart and you reveal your identity to them. They add a promise about keeping your secret.
At this rate, I'm going to run out of people who can do that for me.
Well, Violine is still kind of...
So, y'all are running, and you're starting to find yourself in a less occupied part of the city. And you've got these towering steel buildings on every side with these enormous breezeways cutting across these different parts of the city. And you see up and down these enormous city streets, and they're completely unoccupied. You hear drones like flying through the streets and the sound of like their jets like echoing off of the glass and steel surfaces of the buildings around you.
And you manage to duck into the alcove of one of the buildings to take a deep breath.
And the three of you exchange glances, realizing that Fashe is not here. And that's where we leave it, I think. Yeah, that's where we leave it.
Thank you for listening to Good Enough Games. If you liked us, please tell your friends about us. We are on Twitter at GoodEnoughRPG. We are playing Girl by Moonlight by Andrew Gillis, powered by Forged in the Dark by John Harper. Our GM is Morgan Wilson. Our editor is Marina Conrad. Our music is by Ketsa. We will be back in 2 weeks with more magical girls. In the meantime, please be kind to yourselves.
You know, when you're wearing a COVID mask, every mundane task becomes a crime, so...